Because client is happy when they have their downloads. So for something like that, you can go first for the demographic US, ages between 25 to 45, because they are the people that have money that you think can use your app because it's a fintech app. But look at it. Do you want to get 1,000 people with 200 just using it? Or you want to get 100 people, but then 89 people are using it?
What tools and the resources would you recommend for someone who wants to start an app install campaign? From Builder Studios, this is Colors of Social Media Podcast, a podcast for budding digital marketers and small business owners who not only use digital marketing, but actually practice it. I'm your host, Enoch Robobo Appia Jr. What do you expect to come out from this episode?
Thank you for having me. I've been listening to you for a while and I've actually listened to good panels and your discussion has been very insightful. I'm looking forward to sharing what I've learned from what I've been doing, not what I've read. So normally doing is different from reading. So I want to give practical examples, share the pros and cons, and then the best way to run app installs and then app campaigns.
And how long have you been running App Installs campaign?
For the past 3 years, I should say I've been doing it effectively and then for fintech industry. Yes.
And I believe for the past 3 years, process that you use in running campaigns has totally evolved, right? So can you sort of tell me the difference when you started running app campaign 3 years ago against how you run app campaigns currently?
Okay, so it has evolved greatly. It has evolved from the angle of media buying and the angle of creative. So before, the main goal was to get people to download. But as we progress, then you come to understand why you just don't need downloads, but you need users, because that's where your revenue is going to come from. Yeah. And you get to understand how the creative compensates your media spend. And then now you get to see the value of the campaign that you are running. So I would say from the first year, I was very happy when I was getting downloads. Yes, that's because I'm getting more downloads, 2,000, 5,000 downloads. I was very happy. But going forward, getting 100 downloads and then getting 88 users excites me than getting more downloads than users. So for the past 3 years, this is the difference that actually has changed my buying techniques.
Awesome. So in your evolution stages, are there any challenges and what are the strategies you used in overcoming these challenges?
Yes, there's been a lot of challenges, especially with clients and then you yourself. Because client is happy when they have their downloads. That's what they are looking for. Yeah. But you want to add value to it. Now it's up to you to explain to them the goal or the strategy that you are using. And for at the early stages, you couldn't actually track most of the footprint of your users. But as it evolves, now there are tools that can track where they drop activities on the app and then how you can go back to retargeting. And you can do a lot with third-party apps that has come in now. So now tools are essential when it comes to campaign running, not just the normal platforms where you can meet your target audience. And also your target audience is key. As you iterate and then better your app, you should also better your targeting audience. And there's been quite a lot of restrictions with targeting.
Yeah. And in fact, I want us to settle on the targeting, right?
Yes.
The basis of every targeting is demographics, right? But apart from demography, what other targeting criteria do you use in running app installation campaign?
Okay. So each platform comes with its unique features that you can use in your targeting. So I'll take Meta first. So for Meta, you get to look at the interest when you're targeting. You can add your interest, you can add your demo, and then you can scroll down to other topics that are interested in the people. So I'll use an example for a fintech that I ran. When it comes to Meta, I ran because they are based in the US and they are looking for Ghanaians in Europe, US, UK. So it's like finding a pin in a haystack, because it's a big population, and just a minute of them population is Ghanaians. So now you have to really narrow down your targeting. So you have to get your interest right. You have to get your targeting right. So for something like that, you can go first for the demographic US, ages between 25 to 45, because they are the people that have money that you think can use your app, because it's a fintech app. Then you now narrow down to specific targeting. So something like expats, once lived in Ghana, that means they have interest in Ghana. Yes. And then you move on to interest in Black Stars, interest in some few things that are linked to Ghana, interest in some of our musicians, Sarkodie and Manifest. All those people can narrow down your targeting audience, and then now you can go straight, you can send your message to the right people. Yes, you might have some people not falling in between, but majority of them will fall in between. And then when you take Google, for example, for app installs, you have options of doing placements, doing keywords, doing topics. So all depends on how you want to place it, not just shooting it straight out there. With my targeting, I would say when it comes to Google, I narrow down because I'm looking for just a few number of people. So when I'm running ad downloads, I shy away from keywords, because keywords are very broad. So I go for the channels, the placements. So I have the channels. So for the fintech, we're looking for Ghanaians. Ghanaians are majority of the people that consume local content. So I go to my placements, I go to my YouTubes, I place on those places. I place on my local website, because it's Ghanaians that want to hear Ghanaian news. So then it narrows down and then it goes straight to your Ghanaian population. So for me, that's how I do it. But it depends on the app that you are running. If it's a local app that you are looking at getting Ghanaians, it's just Ghanaians. You don't have to narrow down that much, because you have your demography, you have your age, your location, and then you are good to go, as compared to when you're looking for Ghanaians outside Ghana. And if it's on Google and you're running it, you don't have to go all the way to the placements. You can have your keywords, and then you can have, because broad targeting is just Ghana, anyone in Ghana, so it's broad targeting. So it's better to use the keywords in that aspect. So based on the objective and where you find yourself, that narrows down your targeting. But I believe in narrow targeting than broad targeting.
Omar, with your belief, you know, going narrow, doing that laser focused targeting, wouldn't it affect the overall ad cost, and what is the implication of that?
Yes, thank you for that question. So it affects the performance of the ad. It's going to affect the number of downloads that you get. Your cost of acquisition also goes high. But look at it. Do you want to get 1,000 people with 200 just using it at a cost of one CD? Or you want to get 100 people at a cost of $5, but then 89 people are using it? So it's all come back to the title of today's podcast. Yes, zero to users, not downloads. Yes.
Interesting. So we are targeting users, not just downloads. And with that, it doesn't matter the amount that we want to pay. As long as we are getting users, we are good to go. So the main KPI here wouldn't be the ad cost,
no,
but the users.
Yes.
Interesting. About creative optimization, have you seen any evolution in creatives use in running up install campaigns?
With optimization, it's key. And I think regular campaign optimization do help in performance of your campaign.
When you say regular, what do you mean by that?
So I would say daily checks on your campaign. Make sure you do daily checks on your campaign and then get to know if the campaign is performing well or you need to optimize at some point. So with optimization, I like to normally, most of the ads that I run A-B testing. So looking at how each of them is performing, then I tend to optimize the performance of the ad. But thankfully, AI is with Facebook. They say, just put your ad there and allow Meta to do it for you. Yes. And let Meta, yes. Yes. And then when it comes to Google, daily they give you optimization tips. Not all of them are useful at a point, but some of them are very useful. So yeah. I do well to look at them and then implement them. Yes, as campaign goes on.
Okay. So can you briefly explore A-B testing, the outcome? Maybe give an example of A-B test exercise that you ran for your app install campaign.
Do you want from creative aspect or from media aspect?
From creatives.
Okay. So from creative aspect, the first year of my campaign, I was under the notion that I'm running ads to Europe and then the Americas. So everything was in English, like my copywriting and of using, should I say, lack of a better word, Gen Z's on my creatives, yes, making because it's app installs. So moving forward, I tend to question my clients on performance on my of the campaign itself. So they made me aware their target audience, most of them for specific countries, are older people. They are the people that left to the country using ships and by plane. So they are older audience. So I decided to evolve my creative a little. So I have older looking people on my creative, and then I tend to localize most of the content. So I have a West coming from Ghana, like Ayeko, Semi Sikako, Ghana, like all those things. I had a few jargons from here to add to my creative copies. So then I realized that performs better than having everything be creatives that's in the English and then the Gen Z jargons, because it doesn't resonate with the person who's going to send the money. Yes. So it has to be them. So I started using most of it. And the best trick that I found was videos, but in local content. Yes. Yeah, so I was having influencers that were speaking Chi. And then I was using that one more and more for the places that I think most of the target audience are older generations, like the Netherlands and the UK. Yeah. So I was using more of the Chi, and that worked very, very, very well.
Than great results
from that. So it's better to always have A-B testing to make sure you are effectively spending and then getting the best out of it.
Especially if you are not just looking for users. You are just not looking for downloads. You want users.
Yes.
And it also boils down to your target audience.
Yes.
So once you get to know your target audience, then you will serve them the right creatives for them to actually act on what you want them to do.
Yes. And there's one point that my client said. So the older people, I keep saying older people because they have the money to, so it's a remittance app. So they use the phones, they see the ads, and then they get a message, but some of them are not tech savvy, so they do not download the app. But then my clients regularly do visits to churches, to Ghanaian events, and when they see them, they're like, oh, I saw your ad, I want to download it too. They didn't download it, but they saw the ad got to them and they didn't download it, but because they've seen the ad before, when they saw them at the event, they went ahead to download it. So at a point, my client was, we do apps downloads and they go heavy on awareness with videos, because at the end they can track that one. So when they ask them where they saw the ads from, why do they want to sign up, and then now they get more info from them. So even though I'm running purely app downloads, awareness also helps. So I have the awareness aspect, and then later they give me the attribution that they get, and then I add it to mine.
Yeah, I mean, I've been advising people that no matter the campaign, the sort of campaign that you want to run, you always have to focus on two levels of the marketing funnel, either awareness or conversion or consideration conversion. Either way, you just don't have to just do one. You have to pick any two, depending on the stage of the business. You just pick two and you run with it. There was a question that came in mind. All right, cool. So would you say that although it's an app campaign, right? You are running an app in-source campaign. Would you say it is important that you go a whole 360 marketing approach? Because from the examples that you just gave, it looks like they went a whole 360 marketing approach. You serve them the comms, but then they didn't act on it. And your client had to go to their churches, their, you know, meeting place to tell them about the app before they eventually converted. So would you say it's like a full 360 marketing campaign if it comes to any campaigns that you want to run?
No, not every campaign is a 360, but definitely every campaign is a mix. of marketing. It might be having online and then having BTL, or you can have online and then ABL. So it all depends on the goal of the campaign. So I'll use another example. It's a crypto app. So they serve ads. Crypto is Gen Z based apps. Yes. But now they need companies, businesses to accept crypto as payments. And these businesses are not owned by the Gen Zs. So now they have to find a way to get them interested to accept, sign up and be a vendor. Then the Gen Zs now can purchase from them with a crypto. So with that one, we had lead ad campaign, where details of these business owners were taken, and then they were later contacted. Sales teams went to them, helped them download the app, sign ups, and then now they started receiving payments from the Gen Zs or the people that already use the crypto payments. So in a way, zero to users doesn't sit just on online, but online is a go-to. You can't take it out. It's always a go-to. So you need that, create the awareness. There's a few of the audience that will download from online, but there are ones that will download when they see the offline people, the team offline ads, then they get to understand that, okay, they are the true people. So some people are a little bit skeptical. They want to have a face to it. Yes, yeah. Right. So all those things come into play. So having 360, I'll say, is the best. But if your budget won't allow you, stick to digital.
Yeah, after all, that's where the product sits.
Yes.
Anyway.
Yes.
All right. Okay. So let's talk about the changing landscape, right? What opportunities and challenges are there for app marketers?
For app marketing, I'll say now, there used to be a lot of challenges. For now, it has become very easy. And when I say easy, maybe because of where I'm sitting.
It's easy for you.
Yes. Okay. It has become
relatively easy.
Yes.
But then, I mean, after this episode, it will be easy for everybody. Yeah.
So now there are third-party tools that can assist you in whatever you are doing. So you run your normal Meta downloads, Google downloads, Apple downloads. You have a lot of platforms where you can run your media from, and then you have your downloads. Then, now the third-party tools do help you to track the footprint of your users.
What are some of these third-party tools?
So these third-party tools, we do have free ones. So if it's app downloads, we do have Firebase that belongs to Google. It's free. Yes. And there's Mixpanel that's also free. And then we have the Apps Flyer, which you pay. We have Branch. There's a few ones that you pay that also helps you with your app downloads, attribution tracking. So I won't say I keep using easy. No, it becomes relatively easy for you to follow your user. So right from download to registration to what they do on the app, how they interact with the app. So you can have, if the app is not fintech and it's even an e-commerce website, e-commerce app, you are able to track which products a particular user normally visits and where they drop off. Is it the price? When they get to the price, that's where they drop off, or they get to color choosing, or they get to sizes. So you're able to track everything that they do. So with those apps, you are able to go back, re-strategize, and then have cohorts that you can send messages to. So you have cohorts of people who are interested in just Timberland, or people who are interested in just athletic products. So then you can only be showing them things that concern athletes. That's from running boots to spandex to dumbbells. You can do that. Then you can have another cohort that are interested in just things that belongs to kids. So it's easier with those tools. So going back, remarketing makes it easy. Then when it comes to the tools, it also helps you to track the revenue that is coming. You can check the lifetimes user, how do I say?
Value,
yes. So you can see that for you as a fintech, you within a year, you're able to send $1 million down to Ghana here.
Wow.
So yes. So different comms will be sent to you through in-app messaging. So there if we have partners, maybe we've partnered a real estate company or investment banks down here, we can then send messages to you. We know you can send 1 million down. We tell you, oh, mutual fund is doing well in Ghana. You can push your money there. Real estate, there is this real estate coming up. You can invest here and there. So the tools has actually made up marketing very, very relatively easy.
Okay, so with our conversation, it's all about the users, right? And I want us to go back to when you started running App Insource campaign, right? What have you realized with the users? You know, is there any trend with those who download the app and eventually use the app? Are there any trends in usage metrics?
There's been a lot of insights that I've gathered from when I started and now. So when I started, downloads were basically, downloads was our main objective. And then we changed to users. Now, when we changed to users, we are looking at first time users. That's what we did first. So first time users, from the first time users, then now we started looking at getting the people who have used it once to do multiple transactions, multiple things, like get them to commit to another action again. So now it has become a journey. So each of the journey, we do track it, and then we go back to follow it. So from downloads, our main goal is to get a person to register. So now when the person registers, the next goal is what? Get a person to do a first action. Then from the first action, you try to get a person to do a second action. So we are always looking at going back to get you to commit to an action on the app.
Okay. So with these actions, right, I believe you started the very first day you started running App Insource campaigns, right? Have you seen the users quickly adhering to these actions?
Yes. So when we started, we weren't sending in-app notifications. So we leave the rest to God after the download. Like, okay, they've downloaded it.
Getting more downloads.
They'll eventually use it. So as more tools came in, and then now we started looking at after registration, now we start pushing the FS, let me use the remittance. We start pushing the rates to you. Today, this is what we have. Today, this is the best rate. Today, this is what we are doing. We have someone to come talk to you. So it continuously got them to transact, because they are getting more value from the app than just waiting to use it when they have to. So now you get them to go ahead to do something, because your messages get them to perform the action. Yes.
So after getting them to download the app, you provide value for them through in-app messages and notifications. Okay. So right now, I want us to talk about the common mistakes when you started. The common mistakes that you encountered and you learned from it. What are some of these petty mistakes?
I think there's one that you are aware of. So because when I started and I put up my first app downloads campaign, I paid $72 for one download on Meta. I was like, wow.
Who is that? What are you getting from just
download $72? Like, so with some of the common mistakes is when you start narrowing down your target audience, for some platforms it's expensive. So you're looking at the budget that you have, and then the goal that you want to achieve and how much you are going to pay. You don't have to use all platforms if it doesn't fit the goal of the campaign. So when I started, I thought I was supposed to use Meta, use Google, use the Apple ads. Like, I was putting everything together. Like, I have to be on every platform with downloads. So then I realized Meta was very, very expensive. And the amount of downloads that I get from Meta was far, far lower than what I was getting from Google. Google was giving me value for my money, and it was far cheaper, because they have a bigger inventory for me. Yes, yes. So I ended my downloads on Meta. For my fintech, I never ran on Meta. I ran effective awareness campaign on Meta.
Right. So you pushed awareness to Meta.
To Meta.
And the actual downloads and installs, you ran it on Google.
I moved it to Google.
Interesting.
Yes.
So just because of the cost, or is there any other additional
reason? The cost was reason? The cost. And secondly, the volumes that I was getting from the downloads was low. If you compare, the conversion rate from downloads to registration was also low. And then from registration to first sender was also low as compared to Google. So if I'm, let's say I'm going to spend $500 on Meta to get 200 people and then 100 register, 50 do send money. The same 500 can get me 1,500 downloads, roughly 30% of that 1,500 register, and then 42, I was ranging between 40 to 42 conversion to new senders. So you realize the value was better there. And then, like I said, I'm also equally getting value from Meta. When the clients informed me that when they go on their visits, the people told them they see the ads on Instagram, on Facebook, because our parents, that's where they sit, Instagram and Facebook.
Yeah.
So equally, I am making money for my clients.
Okay, so that explains why you pushed awareness to Meta. Oh, yes. Yeah, so you just let Meta do what it is doing best. You are doing the awareness, they are getting, but they are not down. So keep on doing the awareness and let Google handle it. Interesting.
Yes.
Are there any other ones?
Also, another key one is the crypto. Realize downloads wasn't going to help. So let's do the lead ads and then I will go and get them to download. Equally, it's effective because it's downloads, not just downloads. You want users who could have run just downloads and they will download it, but they won't know how to complete the registration. So with the lead ads, we're able to get to them and then we got them to download it. Also, when it comes to things that I've learned with Google, like I said, if you are going to run an ad that is based on, should I say, a demographic that is found in a very big market, it's better for you to use the channels.
What do you mean? When you say like YouTube channels? YouTube
channels.
Yes,
go for the channels. Because let's say if I want people to...
Like Antenna.
Yes.
Because folks out there, they watch Antenna a lot.
Yes. So those channels are the best. So there are websites that can give you the best performing channels in Ghana, best 100 performing channels. We have those something something TV. A lot of them are from Kumasi. And when you look at the numbers are very good. So it's better for you to place there. If you want your keywords, I would advise you go with search and use your keywords and you are okay. But when it comes to the downloads, because app downloads do give you the chance to have contextual ads. You can have your images, you can have your video. So you get to place at a lot of places. Yes. Yeah. So running keywords won't be for me. I won't actually advise you do keywords. So you can do your placements. Once in a while, do topics. So let's say you are running an ads e-commerce app that sells just toddlers products. So topic is better. Someone will say, oh, place it on, how do you call it, apparels, because it's apparel. No, but then when it goes to apparel, it's right. But then who do you want to come to your app? You want the parents to come to your app. What do the parents was? The parents go to topics. Some of them are interested in finance. Even though it's not related to finance, you can place at those places. But the only thing is ad relevance. It's not relevant. It's not going to be relevant there. But thank God it's an AI. The more people click, it then tends to be relevant.
Relevant, yes.
So as a parent, probably I'm looking at investment opportunities.
Yeah.
Then I see a video talking about, how do I say, something that my child needs, a bicycle, also catch my attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I might click it. So then the AI becomes...
Yeah.
Realize that it's relevant. It's, even though it is not related to finance, it's still relevant. So when you are going for the topics, do look at topics that the parents or your target audience might be interested in, and then also place on the relevant topics that are also related to your product. Yes, so AI actually has make the work effective for you, because the more actions, so the AI is based on the actions that are taken. So if the AI is able to track all the actions that are taken, even though the ads from the onset is not relevant to that category, the moment people start interacting with it, it becomes more relevant. Ad relevance will definitely improve. Yeah.
All right. You've made mention a couple of tools, right? Through your submissions and all, but then I want you to go further in. What tools and the resources would you recommend for someone who wants to start an app install campaign?
So for the past 2 weeks or so, I've been posting everywhere, you know, inviting you, my listeners, to join an exclusive WhatsApp channel I've created for this podcast. Now, I feel like you don't believe me, so I invited a member of the WhatsApp channel to tell you the benefit he's getting since he joined.
My name is Omar, and I'm part of the exclusive WhatsApp channel for Kaleso Social Media. Being part of that group gives me the opportunity to enjoy the content a week before it comes out. Also get the opportunity to ask questions and also get to know who is going to be featured a week before it takes place. If you want to enjoy this, join the WhatsApp group also. Thank you.
Now you believe me? I'm still inviting you. If you want to join the College of Social Media Podcast WhatsApp channel, tap or click on the link in the show notes. Now this will give you the chance to get all that Omar is saying. See you there.
Okay, so I recommend AppsFlyer because that's what I've used. Yes, and it's been effective for me. It's been very, very effective for me because you get to track from download, you track registration, you track every action that is taken. You can even track the revenue. So you can tell which user is, should I say, in the upper echelon and then the lower ones. And then now you can go back to your marketing team and you can craft a message for each of the categories. Yes. You get the drop off points where you can then go back and then remarket to those people. You can do your marketing directly from AppsFlyer. So you can upload your data, your first party data you already have, and then remarket back to them. And each user has his own unique identity that makes your work easier. You are talking to Kofi, you know it's Kofi that you are talking to, you know how to talk to Kofi. And when you are going to talk to Wafa Kwami, you have to say a lot of please, please, please. AppsFlyer, I will recommend AppsFlyer because it's easier. The dashboard is easier to understand. You can create your custom dashboards in a very, it's click and like drag, drop, yes, in that aspect. So it's very easy to use.
Apart from that, are there any other?
That would be the third party that I use. Apart from that, that would be the normal analytics that you get from your dashboards from Meta and then the Google, where you get to track a few things on there too. So, yeah.
I want us to talk about privacy here. You know, there's a lot of, you know, increasing privacy regulations here and there. You know, coming from the platforms themselves and coming from the operating systems. Top of my mind, Apple. Right now, difficult for you to serve as to iOS users. So, yes, how are you going about when it comes to privacy, you know, and targeting iOS users?
Yeah, so it's, like you said, it has become difficult, yeah. But you know, when the thing belongs to you, you have your own perks. So instead of running iOS ads on Google, it's better to run it on their platform, Apple Ads, because they will give more room to their ads and the restrictions over there is quite, should I say, relaxed than when it's coming from Google, other platforms, yes. So iOS, I definitely want to run on Google. I go back to the Apple Ads, yes. I do like this. And also with the privacy, if it affects a lot of things, so you yourself can testify for Meta, you get prompts,
yeah,
wherever you are going. If anything happens to you, we will know.
Wow,
well, yes, yeah. It's your issue. So those ones are there. It has been made app downloads a little bit difficult, but also it forces you to think out of the box. So that will be, now you have to leverage on your creative and then leverage on the messaging that you send to your people and then collection of first party data and then how your app itself interacts with people, or the UI also plays a role. So through your, should I say, registration, there should be options that allows you to allow ads, gives permission to the app that can then go ahead to run ads to you. So with the privacy, it has helped, because now most of the messaging has to be personalized because each user has their own privacy settings. Yeah. So you have to personalize each of the messages that you are taking out there. So in a way it has helped because creative has evolved now, and now adding value to your ads is a must. So I'll use my clients again for an example. So for the fintech, because it's remittance, they are forced to add value to the app by bringing resource personnel. You are based in US for 15-20 years. You don't know what's going on in Ghana. You don't know how to get a mortgage. You want somewhere to invest. So they bring resource personnel from in the industries to come and have those conversations to get you to go ahead and use the app. They bring solutions to them. So an example is this. We've heard it a lot of times from people. I sent money to my uncle to build for me and he spent it. So they have these forums where they bring people, real estate people that you trust, that you can send your money to build for you, to take care of the project managers. So in a way, it's not definitely, how should I say, it helps you to cut the privacy out. So the value that you add compels the person to propagate your message for you, and then now you are able to reach much of your audience, not from the websites and then the app down, because there are some restrictions on there. But then the value that I've added to your product now sends people out there to get them to download.
Right. Talk to me as someone who wants to start an app install marketing journey. Like right now, I want to focus on only app installation campaigns, right?
Not users.
Users. Okay. I want to get users, not just downloads. So users. What are the steps that I need to take in order to have a successful career in this field?
Okay, so you want to have a successful career. So as a beginner, if you are to run downloads campaign or apps downloads campaign, first do assess the app that you are going to market. So
when you say assess, like religiously use the app.
Yes, and know the features of the app. So like elders will say, I'm in a pankasa. So when the product is good, first your work becomes, because you know the app is good. So now when you do that, then the main thing is the user journey. If it's very short, it actually helps with your campaign. So after assessing the app, now the major block will be your targeting. Your target audience are key. So you need to have your target audience right. It doesn't have to be just one laser targeting. Do have the flexibility of creating cohorts. You can have different target audience, different messages, and always stick to your A/B testing. And when I say A/B testing, I'm not just referring to the creative aspect or the optimization with media. Make your A/B testing also with platforms, so you get to know which one is effective. Do not lean on just one. Yes. And for the beginning, make sure you always have the best tools. Because if you don't have the best tools, you can't effectively measure and then make optimization. Because all footprints do bring meaning to your campaign. So make sure you are always looking at your reporting and then taking actions based on the user experience, or should I say the user journey, not just hearsay or your instincts. Use the report effectively to optimize your campaigns. So when you are running a campaign and you realize your downloads are high in Kumasi, but then they are low in Accra, then you ask yourself, why is it high in Kumasi and why is it low in Accra? Is it the messaging? Is it that the product is for people in Kumasi and not Accra? Yeah, so make effective use of your reporting. And then as you go on, you get to see what you have to change, and gradually it will be best. And make sure your creative is not clumsy. Some people try to put everything on your creative, like you can do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. No, each person and what they are looking for in an app. So for me, let's take an example, the MTN app. The MTN app, you can use to transfer Momo, you can buy credit. I don't want to transfer Momo. I do bank transactions, but then there's no card for me to buy again. I'll rather use the app to buy data. So have a creative that is talking about buy data with the app, and have a creative that is talking about transfer money with the app. Don't put the two together in one, because the attention span is very small. You don't want to waste it. So it should be straightforward. Tell them what they can use it for. And then make sure if there are different features, have different creative for each feature. And then I will see your reporting. Make sure you are looking at your analytics. And then make decisions based on the analytics and then what you are getting from the dashboard.
I like the last part. Make decisions based on your analytics, not hearsay.
Not hearsay.
I think we have to quote that one. Make decisions based on your analytics, not hearsay. Well, thank you so much for coming.
You too.
I want us to end with a couple of rapid fire questions. First one, what do you see in app install campaigns in the next 3 to 5 years? What do you see? I know you mentioned AI, so I'm saying AI. What else do you want to add to it?
I think apps campaigns will be personalized. We in the next 3-5 years will be personalized, and with the amount of data that we are gathering every time, it will be effective when you are running app campaigns, because you know who is interested in your product and who isn't. So value for money will improve. So cost of acquisition will gradually be going down for you. And then you get to, now everything is moving fast. And then we won't have the generation that isn't tech savvy. Now you have everyone being online and being interested in tech. So it's going to improve, and then cost is gradually going to go down.
Yeah, I know there's these emerging technologies, AR, VR. How are these technologies going to impact our campaigns, app install campaigns?
I am looking forward to what I think will happen with AR and then VR. Imagine you are playing Grand Theft Auto, and then you enter a shop, and then with a shop, you see a barcode that you can scan. When you scan the barcode, it takes you into a restaurant and you can choose the food that you want, and it shows the app there. Or you are playing Grand Theft Auto. You see that there are some options where you are sitting down playing game. The person playing the game is playing game in the game, and then you need to get food, and then the app shows. I don't want to use a brand like food delivery brand shows yes. up, and then yes, she shows you that order the food with this particular brand. Then you can actually focus on that QR code and download whilst you are playing the game. So I think AR is actually going to add a soul to app downloads. So you don't have to actually see an ad. You get to experience the app before you even get to download it. So I think it's going to be great. It's going to improve engagement on apps, because you can then try the app before you even download to use it. So let's say there's a Nike app. So through your gaming or your AR, whatever you are doing, you open the app. It shows you the apparels, what is there you can try on, and then see if it fits. And then all those things comes into play. And then when it comes to the cosmetics, it will be exciting, because imagine you can try on the various colors of the shades that you're supposed to put on your face before you actually download the app to it. Yes, so it's going to be very effective. Mad. I'm looking very, very, like, I want to see what you do.
Omar, thank you so much for coming on Colors of Social Media podcast. Truly appreciate your insights, and I believe our listeners will get a lot from what you've presented. And right now, it wouldn't be relatively easy for them. It will be easy for anyone who listens to the podcast. Yes.
Thank you so much. Having me. And they should move from downloads to users, zero to users.
That's it. Yes. That's it. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.